The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games, the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
Welcome to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Hey, make sure you check out SeanGreenShow.com. That is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, and podcasts up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, check me out on WGNPlus.com. Only the hottest podcasts go up on WGNPlus.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. And if you want to stalk me on Facebook, it's Sean Green Show Media on Facebook. Jam-packed show today. I'm going to get right into it with Ray Carcillo. He's the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com. And we have him on weekly to talk about video games. Holiday season is right around the corner. There's a lot of good games coming out in the future in the next couple weeks. One big one I definitely want to talk about was Halo 5 Guardians. You guys probably have seen the commercials. They've been marketing this game like super hard. So I want to get my first take on it with Ray Carcillo. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Sean. How you doing today, dude?
All right, so Halo 5 Guardians. All right, what's the storyline behind it? What can future gamers or future buyers of this game look forward to in this game?
So there's obviously two major aspects to Halo 5, right? You've got your campaign, you've got your multiplayer. And the campaign aspect, of course, you've got Master Chief, who's gone AWOL. Cortana has gone haywire. She's all flying around the universe. He's trying to find her, trying to track her down. And because he's gone AWOL, the UNSC is sending a new team led by a Cyrus team led by a guy named Spartan Locke. And he's put together his own team of Spartans that are on, whose sole purpose is to hunt down Master Chief. So there's this really interesting cat and mouse chase that the campaign takes you through from two different perspectives. You see Master Chief, and then you see the levels from a different level. You see the angles from a different level when you then play it again as Osiris team. So it's really interesting to see this chase and these different aspects and angles of the single story. But of course, most of the time you're still playing as Master Chief hunting for Cortana, which is really, really awesome.
Right. So, all right, as far as any like new moves we can expect from these from the Spartan soldiers?
So the big new move is basically kind of like a ground pound move. So now what you can do is that you can jump up into the air, and you can come crashing down on your enemies with this really strong, powerful, like, gravity punch. And it sends out a shockwave as soon as you hit the ground. And it's what's really impressive about it is that it really changes not just the single-player campaign, but it really changes multiplayer, too, because now you've got guys, they've added a lot of verticality to the map.
Yeah.
You've got guys that were trying to get to the high ground to try and get to those guys when they first spawn on the main level, trying to come down crashing on top of them to really get some easy kills. So this new move has really added things. The other big thing they've added is after all these games, they've actually added an iron sight to all the guns now. So it's a little different. Halo players might be a little like taken aback by it, but I think it's a really welcome addition that they've actually caught up to most other first-person shooters, and now you can actually stare down the sights of your gun if you want to.
Wow, it's kind of funny you mentioned the gravity kill, because not to bring this game up, but I have to because I played the beta version, the Black Ops 3, that kind of has that same kill. Did Black Ops 3 rip that from Halo, or who was the first one with that?
I don't think they ripped it from them, because the thing is with Call of Duty, it's just the one character that has it, the one operator, whereas in Halo, everybody has it. I think just the idea of the ground pound and coming down on top of somebody is really cool, and I think that Call of Duty might have taken it, or I don't know which one came first, but whoever took it just figured it was probably a nice addition to the repertoire, and it's an easy way to add verticality to levels, and considering that Halo has always had double jumps and jetpacks and everything like that, that they've already had a lot of vertical levels, it made a lot of sense for them just to add this. Whereas Call of Duty is really going for verticality the first time with Black Ops 3 this year. So I think that, it was just something that, like, when you have vertical levels, it's just something you have to do because it's a great way to get from the higher level to the lower level really quickly.
Right. Now, is it true that this game will no longer have a split screen mode? And if so, why?
So there is a two-player campaign split screen that you can do if you want. But yeah, online multiplayer is just completely they've gotten rid of it because they want players. They really want to push that esports angle with it, so that they want people to have the full screen. They want to be facing people. They don't want people to be distracted and to have only half the screen. So they've completely eliminated it from the online versus modes and whatnot. But I'm pretty sure you can still play offline with a friend.
Okay, great. Now, one of the things that I kind of dislike is the rude behavior and people disconnecting because they're losing. Is that going to be addressed in this game?
Well, something that Microsoft is definitely, again, going with your esports initiative, is something they're going to keep an eye on, is going to be how players act over the course of the game. And, of course, Microsoft, probably better than any other of the games, they have a way to, they have the feedback system so that they not only block during the game, but you hurt your overall status in the Xbox Live community, and you get to the point where if your status drops enough, you only start getting matchmaked with other troublemakers. So it really behooves you to try and keep your reputation up and not act like a jackass online. it's going to happen. There's going to be those players out there, but for the most part, especially with Microsoft, with their, like I said, their esports initiative, they're going to be policing this a lot harder than they used to.
All right, great. Let's move on to Assassin's Creed Syndicate. It was recently released, and some of the story has been somewhat all over the board since Desmond Miles' death in Assassin's Creed 3. Where do you think this story is heading?
Well, I think that it's at the end of Assassin's Creed 3, you saw Juno, precursor race being, come back to life and release herself into the Ethernet. And what happens is that you didn't see really a lot of that in Assassin's Creed Unity, but Syndicate really kind of takes that, gets you back onto that path, and things are starting to culminate now in the present day setting, where Juno is starting to become more powerful and get ready to make her move. Meanwhile, you're still an assassin, you're in Assassin's Creed, you're an initiate trying to help, Sean and Rebecca and Bishop and these other classic characters that you've seen in the past couple games, trying to find the Shroud of Turin, which of course is it's considered a piece of Eden, but it's probably best known as supposedly the cloth that Jesus was wrapped in after he was taken off on the cross. So the idea is that the Shroud of Turin is this amazing piece of Eden, and what happens is that it heals all wounds. So the whole story behind it is how Jesus was resurrected after 3 days, because they wrapped him in this precursor thing, and it was able to heal him all of his wounds. That's how he was able to live on, and it basically, so it's passed down, and that's the first time you see it in history, and it gets passed down through all these different things, and now finally ends up in 19th century London, and people are searching for it because they believe it's the key to immortality. So you've got this really great underlying story, while you've also got the overarching story of Juno becoming more powerful in the present day, getting ready to make her move.
All right. Now, as far as Syndicate, are there any improvements between Syndicate and Unity?
Oh, there's tons of improvements. I mean, the biggest thing is that the world feels a lot more alive, right? London, I think, is a much better character than Paris ever was. I think they do a really much better job of actually, making the city feel like its own character again. There's a lot of other little things they've added. They've added things like horse and buggies and carriages. So you actually have you can have races in the streets of London, and it's more difficult than it sounds, because the roadways are very, very narrow, and the carriages don't handle like you would expect from a car. So it takes a little time to get used to it, but it's actually a lot of fun once you do. The other thing is they've cleaned up a lot of the bugs. Not all the bugs. There still are bugs. Don't get me wrong. Unfortunately, there are still bugs. The game crashes every now and then, and every now and then you'll find yourself stuck in a wall or fall through the world. But compared to what Unity was, we all remember the person's melting face from the PC version of AC Unity last year, which ended up being kind of like a calling card, unfortunately, for that game. It's much, much better this year. The world is much, much more alive. and they've added a lot more stuff in terms of gameplay to make the experience of getting around London a lot smoother and a lot quicker.
All right, great. Let's move on to Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes. And this game kind of fell under my radar because, you know, I love Zelda as a kid. A couple of questions with this. What's the story behind it? What's the gameplay like? And, I mean, what extras can we look for in this game?
So this Legend of Zelda game is basically, it's not, that's taking place in Hyrule, and it's not Princess Zelda. You're in a special new world called Hytopia, and you have to rescue Princess Styla, who's been cursed with being unstylish in a world that where fashion is actually the big thing. And the big gameplay element of this is that Link can put on different costumes, some that we've seen before in the series, some that are brand new, that give him different benefits. Like the Kokiri suit allows him to shoot the bow and arrow in a spread formation, and the big bomb suit allows him to throw extra big bombs. And what the thing is the gameplay is very different because it's almost like a dungeon rush mode where instead of actually exploring an open world, you're just beating stages consecutively. So you'll beat like four stages and that's a level and then four levels and that's a world. And it ends up being 32 levels. And it doesn't feel, unfortunately, like a lot like a Legend of Zelda game in a lot of ways because of this. I really think the lacking that exploration element really hurts it. The other big thing is that you can play with up to three players at once, kind of like in a Four Swords Adventures kind of aspect, uh-huh. It's three-player co-op. And unfortunately, that doesn't really come together very well, especially if you're playing by yourself, because Four Swords Adventures, what was great about that was that it would allow you to easily handle all four characters if you were playing alone. This doesn't have that. This has it where you have to switch between character and character and character, and you have to... you're constantly backtracking, going back and forth. There's a lot of redundancy because of that. And so, honestly, this was kind of a lackluster Legend of Zelda title for me because I didn't mind the whole different world or different princess or even the fashion motif, but I think the redundancy and the lack of exploration really hurt it overall.
Wow. Wow, I'm totally blown away because I was really gonna actually leave the station once tonight and actually grab it. So now I'm definitely not gonna do that. So thanks for the info on that. Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, and RayCarcillo.com. Hey, if you want to follow Ray on Twitter and all his doings on Twitter, you can follow him at Ray Carcillo on Twitter. Also, make sure you guys check out RayCarcillo.com. Lots of cool stuff there on RayCarcillo.com and EGMNow.com. We got Halo 5 Guardians, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes, which is a big disappointment, according to Ray Carcillo, and you must go by Ray Carcillo's word because he is the video game guru. Hey, Ray, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You could friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.